Lisa Gardner joins us by phone tonight. Her books consistently hit the number one spot on the New York Times bestseller list, and she's the winner of awards both here and abroad, where her 32 novels appear in over 30 countries. Tonight, she's going to talk with us about her novel, Find Her, which has just come out in paperback. Lisa Gardner, welcome back to Around Cincinnati. I do have to tell you that beginning with the first page of Find Her, I was tempted to leave the lights on all night. You really take us right there. I was further reassured, I must say, to see that one of your well-loved characters, Dee Dee Warren, who is a sergeant detective with the Boston Police Force, was back on the job. Tell us what is happening on page one of Find Her.
Yes, so Find Her begins with Flora Dane, a college student who went away on spring break in Florida and ended up kidnapped and held for 472 days. And in the beginning, she's actually held in a coffin-shaped box. I think sometimes when you're a thriller author, you're going back to those like visceral fears, and I'll be the first to say I am claustrophobic, so being held in a box is way up on the list for me. You know, it remains some of the most effective ways of terrifying the reader.
She does survive, and I think it's interesting to investigate with you what kind of mental technique she uses to do that.
Yes, for all of my thrillers, I do quite a bit of research. And for Flora Dane, I read a lot about some of these bigger kidnapping cases we've had where girls were held, you know, 5, 10, even 20 years. And one of the things they all talked about was the boredom, the isolation is actually one of the most difficult things to take. You have to find some way of passing the time, of moving even in your confinement. So in the case of Flora Dane, and I actually put together dining room chairs to kind of form an outline of just exactly how tiny this box would be. I mean, not tall, not wide, coffin shaped. How much could she move? You know, everything is from just the tiniest little foot raise to being able to move her hand slightly to there's bore holes in the lid, you know, for air. And it's sensory deprivation. At a certain point, you're desperate to feel anything. So, you know, she rubs her fingers. She gets splinters. It's now something she can pick at. It's one more thing to do. And this is coping. It's actually a great coping technique. And much of that came from doing research into cases like this.
Tell us about Dee Dee in this particular novel and why she's supposed to be taking a back seat.
So Detective Dee Dee Warren is back on the job, but she is still injured. In books, we have an opportunity to be more in-depth. Seems like in TV shows, the cops have this, you know, shootout one week and they're just, you know, right as rain the next. For Dee Dee, she suffered a major injury in the last book that's going to take therapy to recover from. She cannot pass the firearms test. I worked with real Boston cops on this. She would still be a detective, but she can't be active duty, which if you're a really, really passionate homicide cop, you know, it is absolutely killing her. It is the challenge she's trying to figure out how to deal with. When a new college student goes missing in Boston, and Dee Dee Warren learns that Flora Dane seems to have taken an interest in being on the case, it's kind of almost like cop versus vigilante who can get to the bottom of this first.
I think one of the things that makes your book so interesting is that you do always focus on some problem in society. In this case, I don't know if this is how you would term it, but it's sexual slavery. It's the predator-victim situation.
Yeah.
You want to talk a little bit about why you chose that? And again, was there further research that led you to that?
Well, the basis for this book really had to do with kidnapping and long-term captivity, which of course is something you see in sexual slavery. But what I was interested in was how to overcome that. It's not the crime itself, which is absolutely terrible and haunting for all of us, but it is a real-world situation. We're seeing more and more of that. So what is the impact on the victims? How do you get to the other side of that kind of ordeal? The book was inspired by a new bureau formed at the FBI called the Office of Victim Assistance. These are the kind of cases they're involved in. When you're talking a long-term recuperation, where the victim literally has a plan for reentry into the real world. And I wanted to make readers to understand that in the traditional way where it used to be you found the bad guy and the case was closed and happily ever after ensued, In these kinds of situations where you have this long-term captivity, the bad guy being caught, being returned to the real world, so to speak, that's just the beginning of the real process to come. And that's what we see in Flora Dane. She has survived, but she's not yet learned how to thrive. And that's where she is stuck.
I understand that you started out writing romance novels. And other than the obvious where romance novels focus on romance and thrillers focus on a crime,
yes,
are there other subtle differences we as readers might not pick up on but are important to you, the writer? Are there shifts you needed to make?
There's actually a huge number of female suspense novels who, like me, started with romantic suspense. And one of the things we talked about is starting our careers there, we really learned to focus on character. In a romance novel, who is the most important thing? And I think it is that kind of background that later, as we moved into suspense and we got more complicated plots and maybe more police procedure, which is something I love and one of the things that drew me into suspense, we still stay true to the who is the most important part of the book. I mean, it means a lot to me that people read about Flora Dane and find her, and she resonates so strongly with them.
I think it must be thrilling for you as an author to know that your novels have been translated into a number of languages. And I'm just curious as to whether you speak any of those languages and have read any of your work in translation.
I'm an international relations major. Ironically enough, I left college hoping to one day be involved in a multinational corporation. I didn't realize that would be my own. I have studied like French and Spanish and Japanese, of all things. Unfortunately, I'm fluent in none, but I know enough, like I was just in Paris doing some book signings for the French editions and, you know, to try to do my best to engage with my readers. I certainly love that one aspect of my job as a novelist is to travel the world and meet readers from all over the place who just are unified by the fact that we just all love a great book.
Some of your works have also been transformed into film versions, I think for television specifically. And I'm wondering what that process is like for you. Is it, do you turn it over to a foster parent, so to speak, and you're out of the situation, or is it still hands-on for you?
Most of the time, the author is removed from the situation, but it varies. I've had 4 books turned into TV movies, and for the last one, Hyde, which was Detective Dee Dee Warren, and shown on TNT, you know, we got to visit the set, meet with Carla Gugino, who played Dee Dee Warren, meet the director. Find Her has been optioned. It's in that limbo state where, and now what? Who knows? I mean, it could be big screen, it could be small screen. A production company is interested in seeing what they can do with it. So right now, it is their project, and I just wait to hear more.
Oh, so will we. And of course, look forward to your next thriller. Thanks so much for visiting with us tonight, Lisa Gardner.
Oh, thank you, Barbara.
I've been talking with Lisa Gardner about her latest novel, out in paperback. It is titled Find Her, and you will find more information about it at wvxu.org/aroundcincinnati. I'm Barbara Gray.